den Herrn.
Dann praise the Lord. Let us read the title of the conference.
Alle drauf. Ich hoffe, alle haben schon eine Gliederung von der Webseite mal runtergeladen.
I hope you all downloaded the outline from the website. There's also an outline in English. The Lord really has the desire for us to come forward into the most holy place and to perfect holiness. Praise the Lord.
Ein wunderbares Anliegen.
This is really a wonderful desire or a wonderful burden.
Glauben gemeinsam proklamieren.
So maybe one group of the saints can really proclaim this title.
Clemens, wollt ihr mal gemeinsam verkündigen? Halleluja.
Amen. Yeah, coming forward into the most holy place and perfecting holiness.
Und wir lesen den Vers darunter.
Genau.
And then we'll read the verse below it, Ephesians 1:4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Hallelujah. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Father, give us all such an appetite for the fulfillment of this purpose. This verse tastes good, Ephesians 1:4. It's a word that's not just any word, but it is sweet in our mouth, just like honey. It really tastes good. It's good to see what we have been predestined for. And God doesn't just have a plan and then the plan is done, but he executes what he has planned. Everything that he has purposed with us, with this whole universe, this he will also fulfill. Praise the Lord. Do you believe this, saints? Do you believe that we will all appear before him, holy and without blame, in love, and hopefully soon? This is really a wonderful hope of glory. And we should all have this hope. And I hope that this conference would really strengthen this hope of glory within us. That today, it is possible through God and through the Lord to bring us into this condition to be holy and without blame before him in love. This is really such a wonderful view that we have, a perspective that we have. And it's really worth it to give everything for this. It's not worth giving ourselves for anything else. If you give yourself for this world, then I have to tell you, it's not worth it. It's not the time anymore to give yourself for this world. Why? Because the Lord is coming very soon. If we look at the whole world today, it's really become chaos in many places. It's lawless and it's full of unbelief. Especially in the countries in which we live, this lack of faith is dominant. You don't really meet so many people who really believe in the Lord from their hearts. And this already shows us that the end time has come. Because the world has really fallen away from God. Yeah, the world has really come to a condition where he has to come back so that he can come back to judge. But the Lord also wants to come back for his completed, accomplished work for his priesthood. And here on the outline we have written that Christ's coming is near. 1 Thessalonians 5 speaks about this. 1 Thessalonians 5, he talks about times and seasons. Because he doesn't want to come just suddenly for those who believe in him. In verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, "For when they say," this is referring to people who do not wait for the Lord, "they will say peace and safety." They will come into a condition where they'll say, okay, we're doing well. There's peace and there's safety. And what happens after that? Then sudden destruction comes upon them. This is really deception. Many people think, oh, the world is so nice and it's as safe as it's never been before. But this is deception. Because not long after, then sudden destruction will come upon them and from God. And they shall not escape. When this judgment begins, you cannot flee. You won't be able to escape. It will really affect the entire world. There will be so much fire from heaven, you won't be able to flee from it. In Revelation, it says all the green grass will be burnt. Wherever there's grass, you can't flee to there. And where there's trees, a third of the trees will also be burned. And then in the whole ocean, the fire will be thrown in. So where can you still go? Nothing is left. And this is for the world. And this verse 3 is actually meant for the world, for those who do not wait for the Lord. But we should not be such people. The Lord has to really remind us daily that he is coming soon. We need such a reminder every day. Because if we have this before our eyes every day, and we have this hope of our salvation, and we have the helmet of the hope of salvation, which Paul mentions in the same chapter in verse 8. It says, we have the helmet of the hope of salvation. It's a helmet that we need for our thoughts, that every day we would think, my Lord is coming soon. Now it's time to enter into his glory. Soon our salvation will come to the Lord. We all have to put on this helmet so that we would not be distracted in our thoughts from the goal that he gives us. Because if we are such who put on this helmet and really wait for the Lord, then Paul says in verse 4, "But you brethren, we are really the opposite of the world. The world says peace and safety, but we say repent. The time is near. Judgment is coming. Wake up. That's why it says, but you brethren are not in darkness. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. The Lord has opened our eyes to see many signs, to see that he is near. And one sign is this coin. It's a coin. Some of you might have seen it before. And this sign was minted in Jerusalem from the Temple Institute. And it was minted after the U.S. President Trump moved the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem.
Amen.
And after he did this, he did this even despite the resistance from the whole world. But here, it's called the temple coin. The Temple Institute minted this coin to show that they believe that this man will not only help them restore Jerusalem as the eternal capital of Israel, but they printed this verse. It says, he gave me the assignment, the task to build him a house in Jerusalem. And this is what matters to the believing Jews. They want to build his house in Jerusalem. And we know from the scriptures, from 1 Thessalonians, and also from Daniel, that it's necessary for this to happen so that the Lord can come back. And for the first time, we have this person, Trump, and there's another person with him on the coin. It's Cyrus. Cyrus is the first one from the that helped the Jews go back to their city and build up the temple after it was destroyed by the Babylonians. And now they believe, the Jews believe, that there is a modern Cyrus. After recognizing Jerusalem as the eternal capital, he will help them build the temple in Jerusalem. And in this faith, they minted this coin. And this has never happened. And they even call Trump the modern day Cyrus. We've never had this before. We've never said this about any other US president. And this has to show us that the time is truly near. The time in which we live, and it's good to know that this was printed last year or minted last year, it shows that the time we're living in is really special. And when the time comes that they build this temple, then Daniel 9 says, then there will be a peace treaty that will last for 7 years. And if it is this person, if it is US President Trump who brings this peace treaty about, then the peace treaty has to come this year. This is all what we hope and expect. We hope that it comes in 2 months. And then the last 7 years will begin, where the visible coming of the Lord will happen, will come to pass. And we have to really let this impress us. Yeah, we are living in the times where this can really be fulfilled in 8 weeks. And then there will be 3.5 years to the rapture, and then 3.5 years of judgment. And then the Lord will come in a visible way for all to see. So we actually have no more time left. And if we see this, if we see that we're living in this part of history or this special time, then what do we do? What should we do? We should pursue holiness. This is what the Lord needs. He needs a holy people. I'll read Hebrews 12:14. It says, pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no one can see the Lord. Yeah, if we really want to see the Lord when he comes, then it's not sufficient for us to just believe in the Lord. It doesn't say all will see the Lord who believe in him. That's not sufficient. It says, pursue peace with all people. Yeah, it really requires activity from our side. Pursuing is not just taking a stroll. If my little son, who's 2 years old, walks onto the street not knowing that a car is coming, I won't just take a stroll and walk slowly. I will pursue to save him from this car. So the Lord wants us to pursue holiness in an intensive way. Do we do this? Do we really pursue holiness with such intensity that we're always focused on this and say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Sanctify me thoroughly. Lord, what should I do with my body? What is happening with my soul? Lord, what is the condition of my spirit? Lord, I want to be fully, completely sanctified. Pursuing is really, yeah, a pursuit. Other people pursue other goals and really pour out everything for it.
Das ist viel, viel kostbarer. Das wird bleiben bis in Ewigkeit. Und wenn jemand der Heiligkeit nachjagt, er jagt auch dem Frieden nach mit jedermann. Es ist, glaube ich, nicht möglich, Heiligkeit nachzujagen, wenn ich ständig Streit habe mit jedermann. Wenn ich ständig Streit und Konflikte habe und dann jage ich wieder der Heiligkeit nach, das wird nicht funktionieren.
We really need to pursue holiness. So it's not good to remain in thinking you're right. I'm not pursuing my own righteousness or being correct, but I pursue peace with all people. If there are situations where it's about am I right or am I wrong, I remember this verse. I pursue peace. Amen. I want to do what brings peace. And for what? So that I can pursue holiness. Yeah, because holiness is really the being and essence and nature of our Lord. And this is what we need to see him. 2 Peter 3, the Lord talks about the coming of the Lord. And it says, in verse 11, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God? Amen. Lord Jesus, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Lord Jesus, I want to ask a question. Is it easy to conduct yourself in a holy way, to live a holy life? Has anyone had this experience to be holy the whole day? Is it easy? I think anyone who pursues holiness will realize it's not that easy because we have the sin in our flesh. And that's why, because it's not so easy, it is important to now redeem the time. We don't want to wait for tomorrow and wait another week and another month and then take a 2-week break and take a trip somewhere to do something for myself. But we want to pursue holiness so that at the latest, we start today and to consecrate ourselves to the Lord. Starting from today, I really want to pursue holiness. I don't want to lose any other day to gain your substance because you're coming soon. And for our entire conduct to be holy, it requires time. It's not that easy in my whole life, my family life, my work life, to sanctify my thoughts, to be holy in my thoughts. It's not easy. And this has really been my experience in these last days. My thoughts travel away. Oh, my thoughts want to travel. It's really hard for my thoughts to not think about traveling. Yeah, but the word tells us we should bring our thoughts into captivity. We should sanctify our thoughts. Yeah, Timothy tells us that he has given us a spirit of a sound mind. And this also means a spirit of self-control. Why? Because you cannot bring your thoughts under control if you don't do anything. But it requires exercise. It requires this focus to say, Lord, my thoughts I take them now and bring them into captivity unto obedience unto Christ. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. If we ask ourselves, how can we be made holy? How can we be sanctified? It's an easy answer. We are being made holy through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the only one who can make us holy. It's not my being pious. It's not by exercising certain methods or practicing them. But I need the Holy Spirit. It is so necessary and so precious to be filled every day with the Holy Spirit. I treasured this yesterday. The lamp has to be trimmed every morning, every evening. This is what we need so that we can be sanctified in our whole being. This is what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2. Second Thessalonians 2:13. And he has chosen us for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit. So praise the Lord. Our goal is high. He wants to sanctify us through and through, body, soul, and spirit. He wants to have our whole body, our whole soul, our whole mind, our whole will, our whole emotion. How can this happen? Where does this strength come from to bring our thoughts into captivity unto the obedience of Christ and to rule over our bodies so that it won't serve the Spirit? We alone we're not. Yeah, just wanting it is not enough, because maybe you'll make it for an hour, but after 3 days you'll fall apart. The only way to perfect holiness is through the Holy Spirit, in that we call on the Lord and cry to Him, fill me with the Spirit. Make me full of the Spirit every day. The Lord really has to fill us with the Spirit. Romans 8 says, shows that this has to do with our body as well. We have a body of death, but it doesn't have to remain this way. In Romans 8:11, it says, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So how can you recognize if you're filled with the Holy Spirit? This we will see if our bodies no longer serve sin and are no longer in death and weakness, but our bodies are full of life, free from sin, ready to serve God. If I am in such a condition, then I know that I am filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit, when He fills us, makes our mortal bodies alive. I was extremely tired this morning, and then I went outside to pray, and I took this verse, and as I prayed this verse, I said, Lord, I need the experience of this word. And the Lord told me, then pray that your Spirit would fill you. And then I said, Lord, as we heard yesterday, how the lamps have to be filled morning and evening, fill me now. And the more the Lord filled my vessel and filled my heart, I realized how my whole body became fresh and living and sanctified, and then I could serve Him. That means it's not that difficult. The Lord has given us the Spirit, and through the Spirit, everything is possible. It says in verse 13 of Romans 8, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. If we realize that our flesh comes up, our sin comes up, and if we just try to resist, then we will fall. But if we come to the Lord, cry out to Him, and come to the living spirit who lives in us, and I take him and put to death the deeds of the body, then we will live. Then we will not remain defeated. This is a wonderful experience that we can make, that we can have every day and all the time. 2 Timothy 1. It shows us the Holy Spirit that has been given to us by God. Paul told the Thessalonians, if someone rejects rejects certain things, and he rejects God and the Holy Spirit. So we need this way of holiness because it's a way to God the Father. We should not reject this way, but we should much more ask the Lord, through this wonderful spirit that you have given me, penetrate my whole being, permeate it. I judge my flesh. I bring my thoughts into captivity. I turn to you, and I want to come forward all the way into the most holy place. This is such a wonderful way. And I hope that this morning everyone is encouraged and convinced that we all can go this way because we all have received the Spirit. We all have this way. We all can put to death the deeds of our body. We can all bring our bodies, and we can rule over our bodies that it wouldn't serve sin, and that we would also have this desire to do the will of God. He can work this into us if we turn to him and really cry out to him. And 2 Timothy 1, 7 is such an encouraging verse. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And this verse is so precious because this principle shows us that this wonderful spirit can sanctify and every part of our soul. We need strength, power for our will. How can we make our will want to pursue holiness? Maybe we can focus for half a meeting. Maybe we can only focus on 10 minutes of the meeting and then our thoughts are somewhere else. Where can we gain the strength to continue and to pursue and to not give so much room for the flesh and for the common, vain things of life? We have a spirit of power. And not a spirit of power so we can cry out hallelujah loudly. No, but it's for us to really pursue holiness and to take the way into the most holy place. For this, we need the spirit of strong power. In some things, I'm not tired. My body can do it. But when it comes to holiness, I really need the spirit of power. This shows us that our will is not yet sanctified. But praise the Lord, he has given us a spirit of power and also a spirit of love. Love is so important because if I love the world, I cannot pursue holiness. Then I am outside. And I want to see what I can experience in the world, but I am not in the holy place. That's why we all need the spirit of love and of a sound mind. Praise the Lord for this. It's so good to apply this. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Paul gives us a wonderful, astonishing revelation. It says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? So now I'm going to share my screen. And here we see a graphical representation of what Paul said in this one small sentence. It says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? That means we, each one of us personally, are the temple of God. This is amazing. Man has been predestined to be the temple of God. And what does this mean? That means that we, as we see on the left side, there's a picture of the tabernacle. It is a dwelling place of God. We will speak a lot about this during this time. And this dwelling place of God that he had erected in the wilderness, it is a picture of us as man. And our body is not just for anything. Our body corresponds to the outer court of the tabernacle. If we take this picture of the tabernacle, you see that there is an outer court. It's fenced in. And this outer court is really a separated holy place. We see the altar made of copper and the laver as well, and we see everything surrounded by fine linen. That shows he wants to sanctify our body. The members of our body are also members of Christ. He wants to gain them for himself, our tongue, our hands, our feet, what we do, where we go, what we say. It is not irrelevant. It's not unimportant, but it has to be fenced in, enclosed in this area of the outer court. And this is such a wonderful picture that our body corresponds to this outer court. And how does this work? We need to really carry out judgment in our body. And then we see that our soul corresponds to the holy place where the incense altar is, the lampstand, and the showbread table. So our mind, emotion, and will, this is what God wants to overlay with gold. So I'll show you this picture of the holy place. It is full of gold. And I've asked myself, what does my soul look like? Does my mind look like this, full of gold, full of light, full of God's nature? Or is it black and dark? Lord Jesus Christ, we really have to say, sanctify my mind. Our mind is so important. I had a serious warning this week because of an experience I had. In Ephesians 4, Paul says, Ephesians 4 says that we shouldn't let our minds dwell in vanity. And if I'm thinking about vain things at work, for example, and everything that I have to do, and the tasks that I have to accomplish, or if I let the news go through my head, it's not without danger. If I let it fall into vanity and into the futility of my mind, then my understanding will be darkened and be alienated from the life of God, and that at some point my heart will be hard, and then his word cannot enter into my heart, then I will become numb. If I live like this for a few days, then I will give myself over to lewdness and to work all uncleanness with greediness. That was Ephesians 4, 17 to 19. So this holy place should not be darkened, should not be filled with futility, not for a hobby or for our job or for, the activities of daily life. It may not be sinful, but it's just common. And then if my mind is full of these things, then it's dangerous. And then at some point, darkness will come and the lampstand is out. And it's no longer burning. And then at some point, I will be outside. So let us make our souls to this holy place and to not fall into futility. If we are those who let ourselves be sanctified completely in body, soul, and spirit, and if we pay attention to our conscience, the Lord tells us that our spirit can be defiled. How does this happen? If we don't pay attention to our conscience, it's like your windshield for your car. If you wait for such a long time to wipe them, you won't see anything anymore. This is like our conscience. It's so important. If it reacts, let us take the blood and be cleansed. And really walk with a conscience without offense before God and men. And if we lead such a life, then saints, we as holy priests have the entrance into the most holy place. And it is open and available to us all the time, but it requires us to exercise ourselves in holiness. As we heard yesterday, this is all summarized actually in all the feasts and offerings concerning which we have had fellowship and will continue to have fellowship. It is so practical. And I tell the Lord, because you are coming so soon and I want to serve you in the most holy place, then sanctify me completely in body, soul, and spirit. And we all can make it because he has given us the Holy Spirit. So I hope we all are encouraged to pursue holiness, to take this way so that we can serve the Lord. And we can really constantly take this access to him. And let us redeem the time, because the time is so short. It's shorter than we can all comprehend, because the Lord is so near. But praise the Lord for this wonderful Holy Spirit and for the way of holiness that makes everything possible so that we can be sanctified completely. Praise the Lord.
Ja, wir möchten diesen Weg nehmen.
Lord, we want to take this way. And thank you that you have shown us this way so clearly. Thank you, you have not let us alone. Yeah, thank you. You have prepared this way for us. We read the verse in Hebrews 12:14. And here it says that we should pursue holiness, without which no one can see the Lord. And our brother talked about this, that if we're not holy, then we cannot enter into the fellowship with the Lord. As we just read in 1 Corinthians, our body is also a temple of the living God. That's why it's very important to see, or it's important what we do with our body, soul, and spirit, so that we can truly stand before our God and Father. This is a determining factor. So that's why he has spoken to us so strongly in most recent times about the holy place and the most holy place, especially as it concerns our soul, which corresponds to the holy place. And also our body, which corresponds to the outer court. We should take care of what we do with our body and what we do in our soul, in our thoughts. What are our desires today? This is all very decisive and determines how far we can go in our fellowship with the Lord. I want to have a little bit of fellowship about Roman numeral 1c, to be useful for the Lord in these last days. In order to be useful for him, it is very important for us to stand before him and that we get to know him in a personal way. And this only works if we let ourselves be sanctified. It's not about what we can do, but it's about doing what God wants us to do. And this is what he wants. He wants us to be people who stand before him, who know him and know how he is and what he wants to do. This is the kind of people he is looking for. And it's only if we are such people that we can do his will. The Lord warns us in Hebrews 7 that we can do a lot of things, but we can do them apart from him. Sorry, in Matthew, and that he says, then also depart from me, you workers of lawlessness, doers of lawlessness. So we need to actually know his voice and know his nature. My brother said, maybe the peace treaty will come in 8 weeks already. That means the last 7 years will begin. And we know that in the last 7 years, it will be actually the beginning of the last 3.5 years, hopefully for us, because we want to be raptured. And in this time, he will really rapture the first fruits. So it is very, very possible that we are standing before the last 3.5 years of this age. And if you think about this, the first time that he was here on this earth, the Lord did a lot. He worked a lot on this earth. And I am convinced that the last 3.5 years of this age will also be full of occurrences. And the Lord will do a lot. He wants to gather his people. He wants to finish building his house. And he needs people who are fully connected to him. Not, he doesn't want people who just do the right things, but people who are fully one with him. He needs a people who is one with him, who stands before him. And we want to be this people. And it is so important to be such people for these last days. And he certainly will gain this people. I'm certain that before he comes back, he will have people who are in such an intimate fellowship with him, who dwell and remain in the most holy place, and who really receive instruction from him, and who know his nature. These are the people that God wants before he comes, and we want to be such people. I want to just take a few minutes to mention a few examples that show us these people are those who could really, who were really useful to the Lord. They really separated themselves unto the Lord. They purified themselves. They sanctified themselves. They were not first and foremost people who were gifted or talented. This is not what he emphasizes in his word. What is emphasized again and again, and what we see in all these examples of people who were useful to him, they were people who fully separated themselves unto him. They were ready to enter into the fellowship with the Lord and were not entangled with so many other things. Yeah, I want to mention Abraham. Abraham, God called Abraham to come out of Ur of Chaldea. And Abraham moved out, outwardly speaking. He followed God's voice and moved out of Ur of Chaldea in order to be useful for the Lord. All this idolatry and the fleshly things, he left them all. outwardly speaking. And if we look at the story of Abraham, we see that he continued to make decisions for the Lord. He moved out of Ur of Chaldea outwardly, but that was not the end of his journey. And I think all of us here have outwardly moved out of the world. We don't have much to do in this world, and we don't pursue so many lusts of this world. But one thing that impressed me about Abraham is that he moved out with Lot, and we all know the story of Lot and Abraham. The shepherds that they both had, were fighting about who should have the best pasture. Of course, Abraham left Ur of Chaldea, and he thought, okay, maybe. But he didn't say, okay, now I can let my soul rest and have good pasture for my sheep. He said to Lot, no, seek what's best for you. Abraham was always ready to go the way of the Lord. And this way that we are going with the Lord, to all the time be ready. I want to seek you. What I seek is your kingdom. Abraham didn't look for the riches for his sheep. He didn't want to enlarge his flocks and find rest for his soul. He wanted fellowship with God. And he gave Lot the first choice, so to say. And this is the way that Abraham went. He always went the way to follow the Lord. Moses is also such an example. He was so useful for the Lord. He could take the whole people, the entire people of God, out of captivity. Why was he so useful for the Lord? Because he could speak so perfectly? No, he was not an eloquent speaker. But what did Moses do? Very early on, he already decided to not be a son of Pharaoh. This is what we see in Hebrews 11:24. He even rejected it. He didn't want to be a son of Pharaoh. And not just that. He wanted, much rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin and esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward, and this was the precondition for him to be so useful to the Lord. He was in the center of the world of Egypt. He could have had everything, but he separated himself from all of this because he rather wanted to follow the Lord and be useful for the Lord. So we don't even need to have a lot of gold or a lot of riches, but we can enjoy many things in our lives. It's not necessarily sinful things. Things that would satisfy our soul. But Moses really counted it all loss, just like Paul. But Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. We need such an attitude like Moses had, because this is the prerequisite for him to be useful for the Lord. We cannot serve two masters. Serve our soul and give our fallen soul the room to pursue the vain things of this world, and then at the same time serve the Lord. This will not make us useful for the Lord. But in Moses we see very clearly he fully separated himself unto the Lord. And at the end, we see how he could speak to Moses face to face. And this is what we want to see and have in this conference. We want to enter into the most holy place and want to have fellowship with the Lord. Of course, we know with Moses it was just the beginning. He was with the Lord 40 years in the wilderness and was humbled. And certainly experienced the Lord in a very special way, and his soul was also saved. And at the end it says he was the most humble person because he went this way of the Lord and he really did not pay attention to anything else. And this is why he was useful for the Lord. Also with Joshua. What did Joshua do? He brought the people of God into the good land. And how useful he was for the Lord. But recently in a fellowship, the first time Joshua was mentioned, it says he fought against Amalek and he defeated Amalek. And we know that Amalek is a picture of the flesh. And we see that the first thing mentioned about Joshua is that he fought against the flesh and he conquered it with the sharpness of the sword, with the edge of the sword. And at the end, he even said, I want to fully destroy the remembrance of Amalek. This vain enjoyment of the world, this will be really done away with, obliterated. And Joshua really understood this. And God told this to Moses, that he should tell this to Joshua. And this is what the Lord has to do in our hearts as well, to show us that the pride of life, the vain things in this world, we can make a long list. All these things will be fully destroyed and obliterated. And Joshua understood this. And what did he do? On the other hand, we see he's someone who did not depart from the inward part of the tabernacle. He knew God. Because he was in the most inward part. He didn't care so much for what was happening around him. What he treasured and appreciated was to be in the presence of God. And he did not depart. He remained there. And this is where his faith was certainly strengthened. If we're in such a connection with the Lord, then our faith will be strengthened. And what was the result? He was full of faith. And then at the end, the giants were like bread in his stomach. And then at the end, he was able to bring the whole people into the good land. So if we really occupy ourselves with so many vain things and still pursue the enjoyment of the world, then it will weaken our faith. But we need a strong faith, especially in these last days, to go on with the Lord and to be useful for him. It is very decisive that we strengthen our faith. Yeah, if we don't take care of this, we can even suffer shipwreck in our faith. But we need to pursue the way of holiness and the way of purity. Continue to mention so many examples, but there's just one more example I want to mention, which is Daniel. God could show Daniel so much. Just like the peace treaty may come in just a few weeks. How do we even know about this peace treaty and what will happen? How were we able to see how the whole, all the kingdoms of this world developed? How have we seen this now? Because Daniel was someone to whom God could reveal all of this. He could show him the developments of all the empires of this world, and he was even able to show him the signs of the end of the times. And these last few years, we have really been considering how we can prepare ourselves for his coming. But Daniel was the one who received this revelation from God. And the first decision, one of his first decisions that Daniel made when he was young, in Daniel 1:8, what does it say? He purposed in his heart not to be defiled with the king's delicacies. Actually, he was supposed to eat the king's delicacies. Actually, he had no choice. But he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself, because he knew that this would defile and negatively influence his fellowship with the Father. And he didn't want to drink the wine of this world. If we drink the wine of this world, then we will not be sensitive to his speaking. But we need to be those who purpose in our hearts to keep ourselves far from this food of this world and the wine of this world. And this is what Daniel did, and that's why the Lord could use him and also bless him. It's one thing that he purposed in his heart, but the other thing is that he purposed in his heart not to defile himself. But in verse 9, now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. Actually, Nebuchadnezzar said that this had to be eaten. Yeah, had he not received this favor and goodwill, he wouldn't have been able to do what he purposed in his heart. So God saw that he purposed this in his heart, and he gave him favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs so that he didn't have to eat the king's food. This is an encouragement for us. Of course, we can purpose in our hearts to want to be sanctified and want to be made holy and to purify ourselves. But we can purpose this in our hearts, and then the Lord will be gracious to us. He will be merciful to us. And the way that we have seen into the tabernacle shows us his mercy, shows us his grace. He is really gracious to us. He is merciful to us so that we can take this way. That's why Hebrews says, let us therefore come forward with boldness to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is wonderful that the Lord gives us such a way and gives us such grace and mercy. If we want to purify ourselves and want to fully separate ourselves for him and for his kingdom, then he is gracious and merciful to us. It's not about us and our being qualified. It is not my qualification to enter into the presence of the Lord, but it is his grace and his mercy, especially through the priesthood and through the preparation of the offerings. He is so merciful and gracious to us. There is so much salvation for our soul, from our flesh. He has given us everything, and he can save us to the uttermost. This is a great mercy and great grace. We will see this throughout the conference, to see how merciful and how gracious he is. This whole way of holiness and of sanctification has been prepared for us already. But we have to take this way, and we want to take this way. And we really want to be such a people that is useful for him. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I want to take this way, the whole way. And our conscience is so important. our conscience is our something we have to take care of. Paul also said he wants to always have a conscience without offense towards God and men. And the Lord also cleanses our conscience. This is so precious. That the Lord can cleanse our conscience and has cleansed our conscience with his blood, so that with boldness we can come forward to him, to the throne of grace. Amen. In Acts we see how the Lord called the disciples. They were not capable people. He didn't choose many people, but he chose people who he knew would be ready to go the whole way with him. And these are the people that he seeks now. People that are ready to go with him the whole way. Yeah, to really close out this age with him. Just like Peter said, to whom shall we go? He couldn't go anywhere else. He said, you have the words of eternal life. We should be such people who have no pleasure in anything else, that we wouldn't know where else to go because he alone has the words of eternal life. We need to be such people. And these are the kinds of people we need to be. And First Timothy shows us that if we are such people who purify and cleanse ourselves for him, then we are those vessels who are useful to our masters. Yeah, if we really cleanse ourselves from these, then we will be vessels unto honor, useful to the master, prepared unto every good work. 2 Timothy 2:21-22. It's not about our qualifications or capabilities. Of course, he can use what he has given us. But the first and most important point is that we would sanctify and cleanse ourselves, that our vessels will be cleansed and not filled with so many other things. And then he can use us, and that he can prepare us for every good work. Amen.